and which of the candidates are interested in returning power to individual members.
Jones has carried on a recent tradition among Senate presidents of keeping a tight rein on legislation. University of Illinois political science professor Rick Winkle was a Republican state senator during Jones' tenure. He says with 30 votes needed for the next Senate president, it will be a rare opportunity for even first-term lawmakers like Frerichs to insist on more independence.
This is a real chance for regular members of the Senate Democrat caucus to assert themselves and to become more of the process and part of the decision-making.
But Winkle says a prolonged fight over the next leadership might even make possible the need for votes from some Republican senators. Meanwhile, Governor Blagojevich continues to be vague about his plans for so-called pay-to-play legislation. Amanda Vinicky has more.
The measure sitting on Blagojevich's desk is a product of years of negotiations. It would drastically change Illinois' campaign finance system. It's supposed to end the practice of rewarding campaign contributors with state contracts by limiting how much any person or company that has state business can donate to a politician. Blagojevich has said that he wants to improve the legislation. When asked about his plans, this is all the governor would offer.
Positive action. I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot of need for positive action. So, yes, it's chock full of opportunity.
Critics accuse Blagojevich of taking the pay-to-play practice to new levels in fear the governor is purposefully jeopardizing the ethics legislation. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The Illinois Supreme Court says it will not intervene in a Champaign man's lawsuit against the Diocese of Belleville over sex abuse allegations decades ago. The state's high court didn't comment in declining the diocese's request to dismiss James Wisniewski's 2002 lawsuit against the diocese and the Reverend Raymond Kownacki. Wisniewski claims the 73-year-old Kownacki sexually abused him in the 1970s when Wisniewski was an altar boy at St. Teresa's Church and School in Salem in southern Illinois. Wisniewski is now 43. Jury selection began Monday in the Belleville trial. A St. Clair County Circuit judge has ruled the jury must decide whether the diocese hid evidence of molestation before it can begin deliberating whether Kownacki is guilty of causing psychological damage to Wisniewski. The 7-foot-7 woman who is recognized as the world's tallest female was remembered by mourners at her funeral today for her kindness and generosity. More than 200 people attended the service for Sandy Allen in Shelbyville, south of Indianapolis. More people lined the streets of her hometown as the funeral procession went to the downtown circle. Her casket was placed on a horse-drawn carriage to travel about a mile for burial. Allen died last week at the age of 53. She'd been hospitalized in recent months as she suffered from a recurring blood infection along with diabetes, breathing troubles, and kidney failure. Allen used her height to inspire school children to accept those who are different. Indiana's ramping up its efforts to kill kudzu, the leafy, fast-growing vine that's left parts of the state beneath tangles of greenery. Over the next few weeks, contractors hired by Indiana's Department of Natural Resources will begin spraying herbicides on 32 tracts of kudzu vines in 17 counties. The effort is Indiana's most ambitious step yet in its campaign against kudzu. It threatens to kill native plants and trees beneath a dense woody crop of vines and leaves. An even greater concern is its ability to harbor the crop-killing Asian soybean rust. But killing kudzu isn't easy. Eradicating a single kudzu patch means spraying it with herbicides every year for 3 to 5 years. Our next report of AM 580 News is at 5:30. I'm Tom Rogers.
WILL programs are made possible by the University of Illinois School of Music, presenting the Allerton Music Barn Festival, August 29th through September 1st at Allerton Park. More information is at www.allertonmusicbarn.com.
It's 4:34. Our weather forecast comes from AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser, who has a fairly easy time of it this week because there's not much to talk about in the way of cloud cover. In fact, very little around the two-state area. And if we are seeing clouds in places, it's partial cloudiness and it's not causing any rain. Situation will continue for the balance of this week, by and large. Partly cloudy skies and pleasant temperatures were spread across central and southeast Illinois and really across the two-state areas. High pressure remained in control of the weather. A large area of high pressure stretching from Kansas east through Illinois and into the Ohio River Valley will remain nearly stationary across the midsection of the nation, and that'll lead to very few changes in the weather this week, with partly cloudy skies and seasonable temperatures into the middle of the work week. Low temperatures tonight will drop into the mid-50s to lower 60s across the Midwest, and highs tomorrow will reach again into the 80s. Ed Kieser says across the two-state area, the lows tonight will range generally between 54 and 60. A little bit warmer in and around Chicago, temperatures in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny. The highs ranging between 82 and 88, with 84 the forecast high in Champaign-Urbana, with only a light and variable wind. Clear tomorrow night, the low 61 degrees. Wednesday, mostly sunny and a high of 86. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy, the low 64. Ahead to Thursday, another partly sunny day, a little bit warmer. The high still 86, a little bit warmer still for Friday. It's 82 degrees in on Willard Airport, 81 on Friends Plaza at 435.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Scott Simon. We have a story now about a secret World War II interrogation camp just outside of Washington, D.C. The military questioned German prisoners there about Nazi war plans and weapons. Until recently, much of what occurred at Post Office Box 1142, the camp's code name, was unknown. Many of the people involved went to their graves without revealing their experiences, even to their families. The National Park Service is trying to capture some of this history before it's too late.